contractors who think an invoice is only an invoice need to sit up and smell the coffee. A Supreme Court ruling says that when a company submits an invoice to the government, it says a lot more than simply goods or services were delivered. It implies a lot of promises that can get them in trouble. We get more now from Larry Allen of Allen Federal Business Partners. And Larry, this is the other Supreme Court ruling concerning federal contracting that hasn't gotten as much play as the Kingdomware case.
That's right, Tom, and yet it's a very significant ruling in its own right. This is the Supreme Court's ruling recently in the Universal Health Services case, and as you implied in the introduction, this is something that contractors need to pay attention to, because what it really means is when you as a contractor are submitting a bill to a government agency, you are certifying that you are in compliance with all the terms and conditions of that underlying contract. And if you're not sure what those underlying terms and conditions are, my experience tells me that you're probably not in compliance with them. And before you submit that invoice for payment, you might want to double check to make sure that the government's the one writing you a check, and that you don't end up having to write a check back to the government.
And that implies not just the terms that are particular to this contract, but all the boilerplates and regulations that go with every contract.
Well, that's exactly right. And boilerplate's an excellent phrase, and it's one that's widely used in this field. But also, Tom, it means widely used, not well understood. And what the court said is, look, whether it's widely known or not, if there's a term and condition in your contract that you said you were going to comply with and you didn't comply with it, then that bill that you just submitted is a false claim, and the government can come and seek redress under the Federal False Claims Act, which means that in some cases they could ask for three times the damages, so three times the amount that you actually invoiced for.
And that's kind of ironic, since because of new rulings from the General Services Administration, which kind of get rid of most of the egregious parts of the price reduction clause, you've got a new way, a new route, I guess, for the government to get at you for false claims.
Well, certainly the False Claims Act in government contracting is alive and well, and I don't think any contractor should be under a different notion. As you mentioned, GSA and its schedules program is taking some steps to mitigate the impact of the False Claims Act and the schedules program. But really, there still is plenty of teeth in the False Claims Act, Tom. And this is just one area. It's implied certification. You're implying that you are in compliance with all of the terms and conditions when you submit an invoice. And, of course, any data that you submit to the government has to be accurate, current, and complete, or the information that they rely upon can be considered when you invoice. You could have a False Claim Act violation there as well if your information wasn't accurate, current, and complete.
And so are you advising clients to get their lawyers in or get their contract people in and maybe just have a good, thorough read-through of all that boilerplate, because you might have forgotten what's buried in there?
Well, exactly right, Tom. And I think that it's imperative that you sit down with your contracts manager, that little person that you may keep off to the side or in the fourth floor of your building, to sit down with the sales and marketing team to make sure that everybody understands what your company is on the hook for, because it's great to be paid. We all like to be paid, but presumably you'd like to keep the money that you've been paid, and unless you're in compliance with all of your terms and conditions, you're not going to keep as much as you thought.
Yeah, and it's plus you could be gripping some iron bars if you're not careful.
Well, there is a criminal part to the False Claims Act as well, not often imposed, but it's there.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and I want to switch gears here for a moment. The GSA just came out with a really big RFP. In the meantime, the summer is getting underway now that the 4th of July weekend is behind us. And so you've got some tips for summer business success, and we probably should review those now.
Well, right. As we get into the federal busy season, Tom, we're in the heat of the summer, quite literally, figuratively and literally. And three things that I'm offering to contractors for July and August are, first, stay focused. The biggest single mistake I see people make in the government market is they try to spread themselves too thin and take a shotgun approach to federal government business. You have to stay focused and work on the opportunities where you're best qualified and have the best relationships. Second, look, don't expect miracles. We're in July. It's tempting to swing for the fences for that big order that can make or break your year. But in the meantime, your company could be tying up a lot of resources on smaller or medium-sized projects that could definitely make your year great. So swinging for the fences is great, Tom, but there's a lot to be said for just getting a base hit, whether we're talking baseball or government business. So my second piece of advice is don't expect miracles. And last, don't give up hope. Look, being too cynical can close you off to that opportunity where the customer really does want innovation. We've talked a little bit this year about innovation in the government market and what that means. There are actually some people who do want innovation. Of course, here at year end, that innovation is going to have to be closely tied to a business case outcome. We saw some comments recently from federal CIOs on that exact topic. But don't expect that every federal customer you meet is just going to want to do a Band-Aid approach to their IT systems. There are some who are starting to really turn the tide and open up to new solutions, and that's a great reason not to give up hope.
And one thing that will cause a little bit more consternation maybe is that new transactional data rule. We've talked about that. It is now the rule of the land, if you will, to borrow a phrase. And so that means contractors have to start reporting a lot of information.
Well, this is GSA's transactional data rule, Tom, and you're right. It's a final rule, so it's in effect now. And what it really means is if you're a scheduled contract holder, you have to submit information every month on all of your sales transactions, who you sold it to, what you sold, how it was, what was the unit price, what was the scheduled contract price. All of that information has to be submitted now to GSA at the end of each month so that it can be populated in this transactional database, which ultimately, not at first, but ultimately is going to be used by federal buyers as a comparison tool when they try to validate price reasonableness on purchases that they're thinking about making. Tom, there's a lot in the transactional database rule. This part that we just discussed is certainly the biggest burden. There are some sweeteners in the pot that we alluded to, particularly with limiting the impact of the price reductions clause and minimizing the commercial sales practices sheets that contractors have to fill out. But this is a new burden, and while this burden is specific to the schedules program, what we're really seeing here is a trend where companies are going to be expected to assist their government buyers with spend analysis data so that government agencies can make better buying decisions. Contractors, whether you're on schedule or not, be prepared to have your federal customer ask you for transactional sales and historical sales information so that they can make better decisions in the future, and be prepared to have that be a term and condition of your future contract.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, thanks to you, and I wish all of your listeners happy selling.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.